okay, we've had a lot of news drop in the land of Formula One after the Belgian Grand Prix, so with that in mind, I felt like it was time for another news wipe to bring it all together. So in this edition, another management reshuffle at Alpine, and a potential replacement for the departing Esteban Ocon as he confirms a Haas move. Carlos Sainz commits to his future, and Red Bull commits to Sergio Perez. Let's talk about it. As mentioned in my race review post on Sunday, Bruno Famin has stepped down as Alpine team principal to focus on his main role as vice president of Renault's motorsport division. His replacement was named this morning as Oliver Oakes, the runner of junior team Hi-Tech, who will become the team's fifth boss in the last 5 years. I know Oakes comes with a lot of respect. He's still just 36 years old, making him the second youngest team principal ever in F1, and has done a brilliant job turning Hi-Tech into a top-tier junior team in F2. Paul Aaron sits second in the championship as we speak. But it does raise some further questions about the state of the team. When the press release came out announcing this move, new special advisor Flavio Briatore was commenting on the story, while at the same time, former team boss Famin admitted there was a difference in vision between the pair about where they saw the team heading. It does make me wonder just how much influence Flavio has in his new role, especially given his first actions when he rolled up in Barcelona was to immediately push for Carlos Sainz. More on that in a bit. There's also the questionable background of Oakes' Hi-Tech team. We all know it's Russian-backed, and we know Hi-Tech lodged a formal bid through the FIA to apply for the grid in 2026. A bid that was ultimately rejected. And when Nikita Mazepin puts a wink emoji on his Instagram on the same day, only 4 months after the EU threw out his sanctions for his dad's involvement in the war on Ukraine, it should be raising more inclinations of, this might be sus. But I fear we'll only get murmured on Twitter and in private circles. As for their second seat, it was reported today that Jack Doohan is close to securing a seat for 2025. It means for the first time since Romain Grosjean, Alpine are set to promote a driver from their academy. I'm happy for Jack. He was a very solid F2 driver, winning 4 races in the class and finishing 3rd behind Porsche and Vesti in the 2023 championship. Given the extra year as a test driver, it's a sensible hire. Pour one out for Victor Martins, who hasn't seen a crack in the pavement he hasn't stepped on. Signs to Williams? After 6 months of being the number one name on F1's free agency big board, Carlos Sainz finally announced where he was heading for 2025, and it turns out he chose Williams, signing with Grove on what seems to be a 2+X years contract, given the language of 25, 26 and beyond has been used to describe the deal. And the timing on this one is kind of funny, because amazingly, more of the silly season has revolved around Esteban Ocon in recent days. This time last week, it was announced he was joining Haas on a multi-year deal. A couple of days later, former Alpine team boss Marcin Budkowski let the cat out of the bag that he had a secret seat fitting at Williams and tried to leave Alpine mid-season for them, but Alpine blocked the deal. Not exactly a ringing endorsement for Jack Doohan, but I digress. I'll get to signs in a minute, but a quick word on Ocon to Haas. Great deal for all parties. Ocon has done an exceptional job in his years at Enstone. A rock-solid driver who came into his own once he adapted to his new team, kept Fernando Alonso pretty honest in the 2 years they were teammates, and is handed in Pierre Gasly well too. I don't think his reputation as a locker room poison has ever truly held up, and I just don't think Alpine's the right platform to push up the field in an elite class that has had most of its seats locked in long-term. Norris, Piastri, Verstappen, Leclerc, etc. Haas are a team riding the crest of a wave. Hülkenberg has done a very solid job being an anchor for the Banbury team, and Ocon is easily on his level, if not a little bit better in my opinion. I also think he'll be a great yardstick for incoming Brit Ollie Bearman. Haas has a genuine shot at finishing 2024 as a top 6 team, and they look on the up after a horrible set of years in the back end of the Steiner era. Fresh management, fresh development philosophy, fresh driver lineup, the previous stench is mostly gone. I like it. As for Carlos Sainz to Williams, this feels weird. I think the Spaniard made all the right moves. Explore the market, entertain all the offers available, but also hold out and see if Red Bull take the aggressive option of firing Sergio Perez, or if Brackley took the conservative option and not put Andrea Kimi Antonelli straight in with the factory Mercedes. Either one of those options, and they did look feasible at times, could have been on, and given they're the only two teams who give you a viable championship shot, I would have waited to see what would happen. But with Perez staying until at least season's end, we think, and Antonelli starting to show his full promise in F2, they seemed off the table. And out of what's left, Williams seemed the most sensible move. Audi's still reeling from Andreas Seidel walking away from the project just 18 months out from the team's debut, and while Alpine running Mercedes power units may turn out to be a net positive, it can't feel good joining a team that will have 5 team principals in the last 5 years and is actively looking to give up its factory status. That just left Williams. If you're James Vowles, no wonder you've spent the last 24 hours gassing up the ever-loving shit out of your new hire. Carlos Sainz has been a top 6 driver in F1 for over half a decade now, with multiple teams. He's won a Grand Prix for each of the last 3 years, and he's 5th in the championship right now. Williams is sitting 9th in the constructors, has 4 whole points on the year, and if anything, has probably gotten away with larger criticism for a season that's completely gone to shit. Logan Sargeant was probably never F1 level in the first place. He was a decent upper-medium F2 talent who probably would have been a better fit in IndyCar system and who was already hired when Vowles took over. Vowles never seemed sure about keeping him on, dancing around him employment questions all through the back end of 2023, eventually giving him another chance for this year after the season finished. And as much as he has improved marginally, it was never enough to justify getting equal treatment within Williams over the far better Albon. And even he has regressed in 2020. Mostly down to a car that's got a horrible chassis. It started the season 15 kilos overweight, something Vowles reckoned was worth nearly half a second in lap time, cancelling out all that hard work they'd done in 2023. This isn't a signing, it's daylight robbery for Williams. All of a sudden, an Albon-Sainz pairing, or Bonsai as I've seen it labelled, is the best midfield level team on the grid. And I suspect Sainz was likely wowed by buying into Vowles' vision that Williams will be a podium-contending team again in 3 to 4 years. For his sake, I hope he's right, because right now Williams has gone backwards again, not forwards, and Sainz is signing away his prime years to a team that right now cannot score points comfortably. Checo stays. Turns out that same Monday evening, Red Bull announced it's going to stick with Sergio Perez for the rest of the 2024 season, despite an enormous amount of pressure from fans and journalists for him to be sacked mid-season. Ultimately, as others have pointed out, and I broke down last week, there was not, as Boris Johnson used to say, an oven-ready replacement ready to go. You'd be dumping 3.5 years of Checo and data you have on him to promote one of your other 3 drivers instead. Daniel Ricciardo, Yuki Tsunoda, or Liam Lawson. Between them, Daniel Ricciardo's been fine since sorting out his chassis issues, but still could make a reasonable argument Tsunoda has been better this year. The team does not believe Tsunoda has the mental fortitude to compete at the highest level, otherwise he'd have gotten a chance by now, and Liam Lawson's sample size is likely just too small to gamble another promising junior's career on. It's worth an added mention that Isaac Hadjar is forcing himself into F1 contention for 2025 with his excellent F2 season, but given the general down sentiment on the series as a whole right now, he's likely not a serious contender yet. I had a kernel of respect for Red Bull acknowledging in this decision that they might be part of the problem, and maybe they haven't been as supportive of their driver as they could have been, which, given that Helmut Marko has constantly ran to his friends in the German and Dutch media at every opportunity to bitch about him, says to me that there's a clear difference in opinion and in approach on how to best handle Checo. Again, not exactly confidence-inspiring. But what's jarring to me, and something that I feel should be talked about more, is the greater landscape of Red Bull as an umbrella. Think about it. Sergio Perez has scored 28 points in his last 8 Grand Prix, and has had somewhere between the best and second best car on the grid. That's 3.5 points per round. And there was a tangible, plausible argument on outright performance, he's still the second best driver in your camp. This is with Red Bull having 4 cars on the grid to best evaluate talent and the longest running driver academy in F1. If this is the best you can do right now, and you cannot definitively upgrade on Sergio Perez right now, then your academy isn't working properly and the whole umbrella needs to be looked at, because this just isn't good enough and a damning indictment on Red Bull as a whole. As I said last week, I think this is still probably the right move for Red Bull in the short term. Even more so now Carlos Sainz, Esteban Ocon and Nico Hülkenberg have all committed to other teams for 2025, meaning you don't have a driver in free agency that again is a slam dunk better shout than what Checo is right now. That second seat has been a poison chalice ever since Ricciardo was fed up with it in 2018. It likely cost them a Constructors' Championship in 2021, and with McLaren reducing Red Bull's championship lead this year to just 42 points, history is likely to repeat itself.